Welcome, colleagues, to the CPE Today podcast. This is Steve Yash, your instructor and presenter and guide for today's presentation. Welcome to episode 8. How have we done 8 so far? Hopefully 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 more to come. But today, special episode number 8, this is Integration and Data Sharing for Accountants, Part 2. I'm so excited to be able to present and instruct this class as the second part of our Data Sharing and Integration course. Data sharing and integration is something that I feel that every professional, accountant, practitioner, data analyst, bookkeeper, whoever you happen to be, you can benefit from increasing your sharing and integration between the different solutions that you're using. In reality, most of us are using upwards of probably about a dozen or so apps every single day in our normal course of work. And we're probably doing a lot of repetitive things. We're probably keying in something from one system and then having to key it in again to another system. Or something will occur in one system and then we have to notify another system that that action had occurred. Maybe, for example, that we created an order in one system for the accounting team and then we had to let the sales team know that that action had occurred and that invoice had been sent out. Well, we can benefit by increasing the amount of integration and sharing between these two different applications so that we're not repeating ourselves, that we are always essentially having a flow of data inside of our organization, just like the flow of water in the pipes of our house or how other systems inside of our organizations operate. We can gain benefits by allowing these different systems to come together and to communicate with each other. So today's class, we're going to continue upon that. If you missed our first section, please go ahead and check out part one of this course where we kind of go in depth with respect to what data sharing and integration is and the benefits associated with it. And in today's class, we're just going to do a very simple rebrief, refresher on why you might want to consider some of these projects. But specifically, what we're going to look at is taking a detailed look at trigger and action workflow tools. Now, trigger and action workflow tools are fantastic solutions for those of you who are getting started with integration projects and just kind of wanting to explore those options. And these tools, I'll talk about them in depth. We're going to look at three today. Specifically, we're going to look at If This Then That, or sometimes referred to as IFIT. We're going to take a look at Zapier, as well as Microsoft's Power Automate, formerly referred to as Flow. Now, these tools are awesome because they are very approachable, easy, fast, and efficient, and a great way of getting started in moving data across your organization from one application to the other. Now, in part three of this course, which will be coming out at a later date, we're going to look at more advanced topics, specifically programming techniques. I'm going to give you a whole list of different tools and services that I personally recommend and use with respect to integration, like my favorite payment processor, Stripe, or my favorite communication suite, which is Twilio, or my favorite cloud application suite, which is Amazon Web Services. And in part three, we're going to go ahead and take a look at that. But I feel like with any good integration project, you should at least give these three desktop tools a look at, because you might find that it'll give you some good ideas and it's a great way of doing some proof of concepts and understanding how these different integration solutions can have an impact and benefit to your business. So we're going to go ahead and take a look at these tools. And I do want to remind you, if you are a financial professional that is with us here today, that this podcast is eligible for CPE credit. So if you're interested and you'd like to earn it for a credit for today's class, all you have to do is go to cpetoday.com, use course code IDS3, take a short 5-question quiz, and you'll earn a certificate for today's podcast. And so if you're having to maintain a certain amount of continuing education for your professional license, this is a fast and easy way of earning some credits while listening to a podcast. So again, check out cpetoday.com, use course code IDS3, and earn a credit for today's class. Alrighty. So let's go ahead and do a quick refresher on what integration is and why it is important. all organizations can benefit to integration inside of their IT systems. And what's amazing about this is that it allows for information to be shared across these different systems without really kind of any human intervention. It gives the ability to be able to send data from one system to the other on an either automated or triggered basis, or sometimes referred to as either as a event or scheduled basis. Now, what's awesome about this is that it gives us a bunch of benefits that we would otherwise not have. With respect to any integration project, the biggest benefit to most organizations is the fact that there is tremendous cost savings. It doesn't matter what this costs in terms of the programming or the software, it will always be cheaper than manual effort. It will always be cheaper than your staff. And so one of the major reasons that people pursue integration projects is to get to that cost savings. Now, in addition to that cost savings, a number of additional features are also present. Integration and data sharing reduces errors and reduces risks with respect to bad data entering the system. Because very little human interaction is involved, it's almost always system to system. As long as you program it and set it up correctly the first time, it will do exactly what you tell it to do every single time. And so it can help reduce errors inside of the organization overall. Integration and data sharing is also very scalable and very efficient. Data sharing will help your organization move quicker and faster and allow you to be able to take advantage of newer and faster opportunities as they come apparent. It's great, for example, for automating low-value tasks like setting up accounts, processing of invoices, or anything that would traditionally be resolved or dealt with by a low-level administrator. We can essentially have a system do this. We set it up once, it will continue to operate with very little, if none, human involvement. It's a great way for standardization. Integration allows for different systems across your organization to be streamlined, for the data to be consistent across the different organizations, and allows for different opportunities that would otherwise not be available to you, because essentially it allows for system to system communication. And that standardization, that streamlining is going to help promote that efficiency, help promote that scalability, as well as help pursue that cost savings. Lastly, integration and data sharing is fantastic from a security perspective. Automation is great for keeping information private, and there are certain things that really humans should not be involved with. For example, you should never have to call a company to reset a password. You should never have to call a company to process payment information. These are traditionally privileged tasks, and it's always best to have machines do it directly. Have your customer reset and choose their password directly, or provide their payment information. It's going to help promote security in your organization, reduce errors, streamline your operations, and eventually help you even save some money. It's a win-win-win-win across the board, and something that we should all be considering and all be pursuing with respect to finding new and exciting ways of being able to integrate our different systems in our company. Okay, if you're interested more on that information, check out part one of this course, also available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else. If you'd like to go into greater depth on why integration is awesome, different opportunities for integration inside your organization, as well as a detailed, in-depth analysis of how databases work, APIs work, application programming interfaces, as well as webhooks, which are really the foundation of any data sharing and integration solution. Okay, so in part two, let's go ahead and talk about these three tools without further ado. So we are going to be looking at If This Then That, sometimes referred to as IFIT. We're going to be looking at Zapier, and we're also going to be looking at Power Automate. Now, these tools share a lot of commonalities, although they definitely specialize in certain areas and have different features compared to each other. Now, they are all what I would refer to as a trigger and action workflow tool. Okay, what is a trigger and action workflow tool? Well, this is really kind of a new category of tools and services that are out there that are low-code solutions that allow for a layperson, a non-technical person, to be able to integrate their different systems and share data across these different systems. Zapier, Ifit, and Microsoft with Power Automate, have essentially taken the burden of determining a lot of the major macro information with respect to integration. They've taken it upon themselves to kind of build a tool that takes care of all that heavy lifting, all that detailed programming work, and they do it so that you don't have to. And so these solutions aren't 100% basic tools, but for the most part, they are tools that can be used by, let's say, beginner power users to intermediate power users that have pretty good familiarity, understanding, and capability with respect to technical systems, but aren't necessarily full-blown programmers. These solutions do give some advanced capabilities, for example, so those power users who do have the ability to program, they can do some of that with these tools, but they're really intended for kind of that mid-market and that mid-level user who has some experience with respect to how integration would work, has a general familiarity with respect to what an API is or webhook is, but isn't necessarily, you know, extremely competent with respect to coding themselves. Now, these tools have some commonalities. For example, they are all web and app based, meaning there's not a desktop tool that you can download for Zapier or Ifit or even Power Automate. All the configuration is done directly on the various websites that these tools are located on or on a mobile app that is loaded either on your iOS device or your Android device. So there's no integrated development environment or an IDE. There's no use of a programming tool with respect to how these tools operate. If you can get to the internet, if you can get to their website, all the configuration, all use of these tools is done directly there. And so that's awesome because normally, and as a programmer myself, as somebody who develops and builds applications for a living, in addition to being a financial professional, I can tell you a lot of work is done just with the configuration of getting your environment ready in terms of getting your hosting ready, whether it be an Amazon or Azure, configuring your development environment to be able to support all of this. There's a lot of macro work that is done before you even push one bit of data between one application to the other. And so these tools take away a lot of that heavy lifting and a lot of that specific configuration and allow the user to really just kind of focus on the work that they're doing. And so again, for that beginner power user, intermediate power user that's maybe just getting their feet wet or just the business that doesn't need a full blown package, this is a wonderful solution because it's a great middle ground between nothing, which provides no benefit to the organization, and extremely custom code that only fits the organization like a glove. So it's a great option if you're getting started, great option for exploring different options. And each of these tools has some different configuration that makes it a little bit different from the others. And they have the kind of their sweet spot with respect to where I think they fit in really well. Now, I do want to point out these aren't the only tools that are out there. There are other tools available as well. I just find that Ifit, Zapier, and Power Automate tend to be, let's say, the leaders in the market and the ones that most folks are most familiar with. In later editions of this data sharing and integration course, we're going to look and take a detailed analysis, an hour a piece, if not longer, with Ifit, Zapier, Power Automate. Today, we're just going to mostly do an overview. I will do hands-on, and we'll show you the websites in terms of how some of this configuration works. But in future editions of this course, we're going to look detailed at each of these applications, plus other ones that will not be mentioned here today. For example, there's a new tool that's out. It's kind of like an open source that you can host your own version of these trigger and action workflows called Nomation. And it's a really cool tool. It's bleeding edge. It's only been out for a couple of months. Well, we're going to take a look at that as well, but we're not going to be discussing it in today's case. Okay, now these three tools, Ifit, Zapier, and Power Automate. Now, who is their primary user? What is their primary use case with this? Well, I can tell you that Ifit is a great personal option, home option. It's a great Internet of Things option. It's a great solution if you're choosing to automate things around your house, if you're choosing to, let's say, tie together the different Internet of Things devices that you've acquired and you want them to be able to do and work together. Okay. It's a free option. It's got hundreds of different integrations. It's easy peasy. And it's going to be the solution that we're going to go ahead and take a look at first. But it's intended really to be on the personal side. Now, they have been expanding in the last year or so into the commercial market, but still, it lacks many of the business grade configuration tools and integration services that I would expect to see for a business tool. Now, we have Zapier. Zapier is probably the leader in this market, and in a lot of ways, I think they created this low-code integration marketplace. I think they were pretty much the first desktop, web-based, app-based data sharing and integration tool, and they found their home really kind of in that business market. Now, the price of this ranges from free to it tops out somewhere around $600 a month. They've got a couple of different price drivers, which we'll talk about as we get through the course today. Now, their claim to fame is the fact that pretty much if it supports trigger and action tools, it supports Zapier. Zapier is definitely the leader in this marketplace and has thousands and thousands, I think well over 2,000 different apps, tools, services, and platforms that it supports. Now, it's still pretty easy to use. I would not consider it a hard tool, but it is not as approachable as Ifit. I would definitely say it's for your power user, power beginner, power intermediate user. And it's a good solution if you're looking to do some limited integration of different platforms and services in your organization. It's not hard to be able to approach this. Now, the third tool that we're going to take a look at today is Microsoft's Power Automate. Now, this solution was previously referred to as Flow. Now, it is a business-grade tool, very similar to Zapier. They have an introduction where you can get a trial for a period of time. However, there is no free version of this tool. It starts at $15 per month, and it goes up to about $500 per month. And I'll discuss some of the pricing with that as well. Now, it offers hundreds of integrations, not nearly as many as Zapier's, and it's a great solution if you are well contained within the Microsoft ecosystem. It really kind of specializes in tying together lots of different Microsoft tools, from the simple stuff like Exchange and Planner and Teams to some of the more advanced and complicated of the Microsoft platform, which would be like Dynamics or Azure. Like Zapier, it is a medium level complexity tool. It's not a beginner's tool. I would say out of Zapier and Power Automate, Power Automate's probably a little bit more complex to get set up. But again, it is not a difficult tool to use once you kind of understand some of the principles of how it operates. So these are our three main tools that we're going to look at least in today's course. But again, in future editions of this course, we are going to take a detailed look at these three plus many other tools that are out there. And if you have other tools that you'd like us to see, review, talk about, and teach you one, go ahead and leave us a comment on wherever you happen to be watching this video. And I'd love to be able to review that tool in the future. So the first tool that we are going to discuss is Ifit. Again, Ifit stands for if this, then that. Put the internet to work. Now, Ifit is a service that really kind of specializes, again, on connecting personal, home, and Internet of Things applications, platforms, and services. It primarily focuses on interacting with cloud-based services. So think Facebook, think Dropbox, think Alexa, and other things like this. And it ties them together through really simple conditional statements known as applets. Okay. Now, you can connect a lot of different internet services together and allow them to be able to share information between each other. And again, this is what we would refer to as a trigger and action tool. Something happens over here, go do something over there. And so the triggers can occur through a variety of different mechanisms. It could be receiving of an email. It could be a notification from a service that you follow, a message on Twitter or another social media, an uploading a photo. We'll talk about some examples that you could choose to use Ifit here in a moment. Now, if it's mostly free, the free version limits the number of different applets that you can run, but the paid version offers the ability to create a lot of custom applets and increases the number of integrations that you can use. Now, for the most part, providers pay to use the platform. I think for a long time, their solution was pretty much geared in that way, where that's how they monetize their service. You know, so if I had a company and I wanted to be able to allow people to use Ifit. I would pay Ifit to get my product listed on there, and then users would integrate their other devices, platforms, and services with mine using that Ifit as the back end. Now, if you're interested in checking this out, again, it's ifit.com. Now, what can you do with Ifit? Ifit is great for kind of automating personal life, and I've used it in a variety of different capacities. I have Ifit on my computer in terms of the website that I use, and I also have it installed on my mobile device as well. So some different things that you could potentially do with this. For example, every day at 7 a.m. or at a time of your choosing, you can get an iOS notification, or if you're an Android user, an Android notification with the weather conditions and forecast for the day. Now, what it does is it looks at the position of the phone. If the phone happens to be in Los Angeles, or it happens to be in Minneapolis or in Tucson, Arizona, well, that gets reported to the Ifit service. Then Ifit would maybe integrate and grab information from weather.com or NOAA or any other weather provider you choose to use, and then deliver a notification at a predetermined time to your mobile device directly, you know, so saving you a step of having to open the app and see what the weather looks like today. You could also, for example, set this to be conditional. So if the user, for example, only wants to get notified in inclement weather, maybe, for example, they are wanting to be notified if they need to bring an umbrella or if they need to wake up 10 minutes early to scrape the snow off their car, the service provides that level of complexity as well. Another example of a trigger in action. Well, a trigger could be, for example, if a price of a security dips below a certain price or exceeds a certain price. It could send you an email. It could send you a push notification. Heck, it can even call you. Another trigger could be, for example, somebody engaging with you on social media. For example, somebody tags me on Instagram, or they tag me on Facebook, or they tag me on any other service. Well, if it can periodically check those different social media channels, and if it happens to see some sort of engagement, it can go ahead and grab that media. Maybe it's a video, maybe it's a photo, and it can go ahead and back up that content directly to maybe my personal Dropbox account. Well, you could substitute Dropbox for whatever cloud service you choose to use. So maybe OneDrive, maybe Google Drive, or another service that's supported within Ifit. You could also, for example, use this to back up your phone contact records to maybe Google Sheets. So a trigger would be that you update a contact record. The action would be, once it sees that contact record, to go and take that record and push it to a Google Sheet. So lots of different opportunities for using Ifit, and it's very simple to be able to use. Once you create an account on the Ifit service, okay, you go ahead and you take a look and you can see the different services that are supported here. And then it's very simple. You just connect the services you're already using. Now, Zapier and Power Automate work the same way. These services have essentially taken care of all the authentication in the background. And once we sign in to Ifit, we go to the different services, we provide our credentials, okay, so our username and password. It's important to note that Ifit, Zapier, and Power Automate do not store your credentials in their databases, but rather a secured token that represents you to those different services. So it's a very secure way of logging in, and they never actually have your password. So it's much better than prior methods of being able to do this. Okay. So they've got lots of different templates. They've got lots of different services that are out there. Connect to your Google, your Facebook, your Alexa, whatever accounts you choose to use. And it is very simple and be able to start utilizing these services automatically. So let's go ahead and take a look at one of these services, and let's go ahead and take a look at our Ifit account. Okay. So if you'd like to check it out, again, it's ifit.com. Very simple in being able to use. Okay. And from the main overview of this particular page, oops, let's go ahead and get rid of that. There we go. Okay. We can explore the different plans of this different service. Okay. Now, personally, I'm a big fan of the free accounts. They're pretty easy, and you know, you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. But the free account is $0. You're only limited to three applets though. You're limited to three applets that you create. However, you can use other applets that other people have created. So you can limit with respect to just the stuff that you create, but you can use the community curated templates much simpler and easier. Now, if you love the service, $4 a month, Okay. Gets you unlimited app creation, gives you the ability to create multi-step applets. When I show you Zapier here in a little bit, you'll understand some of the benefits of why you might want multi-step applets. Essentially, if the standard account is just a one-to-one ratio, so one trigger, one action, multi-step allows you to have one trigger occur and several actions to be able to go along with it. Okay. Now they also do have their business plans. And frankly, I just can't recommend the Ifit business plans, mostly just because most of the business software that I see most organizations wanting to use is not supported in the Ifit platform. However, lots of really good options with respect to individual, home, and Internet of Things devices. So let's go ahead and switch over here. I'm already logged in as Johnny Demo, my favorite demo account. And this is what it looks like once you're actually logged into the service. If we come up here to the Explore option, it's going to present us with a lot of curated templates with respect to different ways of being able to utilize and integrate and access different things that we're already using. Okay. So we could, for example, see some things that are going to be recommended, maybe around Google Voice. Okay. Maybe we see things, for example, around Spotify or Alexa, or even services that provide news, you know, for example, CNN and Twitter and a bunch of those news services are supported as well. Okay. Now, a lot of these curated templates, you know, you might find something that's really helpful. You know, for example, Amazon Alexa, find my phone. You know, that could be something pretty useful and something I tend to have to use pretty regularly. Now, if we come back up to the top here, we can go ahead and we can search, you know, we can search for different services that we are utilizing. So for example, maybe we want to look and just see what kind of Facebook opportunities there are. Okay. So in this particular one, add Facebook Lifestyle Analytics to WellStory, which is another service. Keep your Facebook and Twitter profiles in sync. This looks like a pretty good one. Let's go ahead and take a look at this. Okay. So we're going to click on this service, and very simply, all we have to do once we're in here is just drag this connect button over. And what it's going to do is it's going to pop up and it's going to prompt us to connect to Facebook. Okay. So it takes us over to our Facebook account. We'd log in with our Facebook account. We'd give Ifit permissions to be able to access our Facebook account. It would store those permissions. And then in future needs, it would just go back using that secure token and access our Facebook profile. Likewise, we would go ahead and we would interact and access, for example, Twitter. And it would do the same thing. It would take us over to Twitter. We'd put in our Twitter ID and password. And then those two services would now be mapped over to Ifit, and data would be allowed to be shared across those two solutions. So there's lots of different solutions that are supported in here. If you come to the Explore and type in, for example, services that you use, you could find things like Alexa or Twitter or whatever happened you might want to use. So there's lots of different solutions that are out here. And again, most of them I find are going to be really kind of focused more on the individual side and home side. Now, all of these services work the same. If it's Instagram, for example, same thing. We come on over here, we'll see a listing of sample applets that we could potentially use. And all we have to do to start utilizing these services, just click the connect button. It's going to take us over to Instagram. In this particular case, we log in with our Instagram ID and password, and now Ifit has access to that service. Pretty easy and really, really effective to be able to use. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and have our first review question for today's class. Okay, and this one is going to be related to Ifit. Which of the following services does Ifit not currently integrate with? Okay. Is it Google products, for example, Gmail, Google Calendar, etc.? Is it more business grade products, for example, QuickBooks, Dynamics 365? Is it more social media stuff, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram? Is it more Internet of Things stuff like Nest, Alexa, GE appliances, and others? Well, folks, the answer is going to be it does not really currently integrate with many commonly used business applications. So if you're looking to push and pull information from QuickBooks, Dynamics, this would not be the solution for you. I would recommend that you take a look at either Zapier or Microsoft's Power Automate. Either one are going to be more geared towards business applications. So great solution for personal stuff and home and Internet of Things. Not a really good solution if you're looking to do your business. But the good news is there are two other awesome options that you can also take a look at as well. Alrighty, so the next solution that we're going to take a look at is going to be Zapier. I've also heard it referred to as Zapier from my good friends and colleagues up in Canada. So whatever you choose to refer to it as, by all means, make yourself comfortable. Okay, I'm going to refer to it as Zapier. Now, Zapier is very similar to Ifit. It is a trigger and action workflow tool. It allows you to integrate lots of different applications, probably more so than any other tool that are out there. At the time of this recording, it's well over 2,000 different websites and platforms and services. And like with Ifit, it works off trigger and action. Now, unlike Ifit, it gives you the ability to be able to have multi-step action plans. So you will typically have a trigger, and that trigger could be the reception of an email. It could be creating of an invoice in your accounting system, updating of a customer record in your CRM, something like that, that will then initiate a multi-step action plan inside of Zapier that will typically go and do multiple things for you. So you could, for example, you know, have an invoice that is created in QuickBooks and then have it go and push that invoice to the other different systems that you use. It might be your warehousing system, your inventory system, your customer system, whatever that might be. Now, those actions are always occurred in other systems, and Zapier essentially is the orchestra leader, the band leader, the conductor of pushing those changes from those different places and updating as needed. And so it's really cool just from the perspective of being able to support multi-steps and multi-applications, okay? Now, workflows are visually designed. The only application that you need to use is that web browser, and you can check them out at Zapier.com. Now, some of the features and kind of cool stuff with respect to Zapier. Workflows can be initiated really from any of the apps supported inside the Zapier ecosystem. You pick your trigger, and that trigger could be, for example, from a subscriber responding to an email in MailChimp, or a transaction being processed inside of PayPal, the receipt of an email in Gmail, the scheduling of a calendar event in Microsoft Outlook, or any of these other solutions that are supported. Okay, so that trigger point happens. That's going to initiate and kick off a whole workflow that could be multiple steps. Okay, and they will complete those different actions and push the data wherever it happens to be able to go. And so it essentially allows your systems to be able to operate with each other and solve your important problems without users really kind of ever having to be involved. It's a really simple, easy solution. Point, click, automate. You can go from ideas and explore different options very quickly and very easily. It's a really good solution, for example, for prototyping and kind of wanting to understand some different options that you can pursue with this different tool. So now Zapier's pricing is a little weird, and that's why I wanted to kind of take two slides here just to kind of discuss and walk you through some different options with respect to how you can acquire this different tool. Now, there are three drivers with respect to the pricing for Zapier. They have the number of integrations, which they refer to as Zaps. They have the number of times that workflow runs, which they refer to as tasks per month. And then they have the update interval, how often that particular workflow will run. So if you're trying to figure out essentially what and how this is going to cost you, well, you need to figure out how many different steps of the workflow, sorry, not steps, how many different workflows that you have, how many times that particular workflow could run, and how often you want that specific workflow to execute. Now, these three drivers will determine what level of plan that you go for. Now, there are, I would say, probably 2 to 3 plans that I would really kind of consider. The first one would be their free plan, which is a great solution and option for as an individual. Okay. With their free plan, and it's free forever, it gives you 5 Zaps or workflows that you can operate inside your account. They can run up to 100 times per month, and they will execute every 15 minutes. So for example, if you needed to copy attachments from an email that's been sent to your Gmail or your Outlook, well, you could do that 100 times a month, and it will execute every 15 minutes. So it's a good way of being able to determine if this is a good solution for you. And for small, occasional things, not a bad way of doing it. However, you're probably going to need more than 5 workflows. You're probably going to need to have them run more than 100 times per month. You're probably going to want it a little bit more real time than every 15 minutes. So you're probably going to need to upgrade. Now, I think most folks end up with this solution being at about $50 per month. And so with that, it gives you unlimited zaps or workflows. You could have as many different workflows as needed. They could run up to 2,000 times per month and at 2-minute intervals. So it's relatively real time. And I'll show you their pricing page here, and you can see some of the other solutions that come along with it. Now, you might be thinking $50 a month, that's pretty steep. Okay. Well, think about what an hour of time costs for an administrator inside your business. You know, even somebody who's moderately priced, once you take into account, we're joined, by the way, by the fantastic Winston, who's head of our company's accounts retrievable. He's auditing today's course. So if you see him moving back there, you'll know who's back there. Say hi, Winston. Okay, so these will run... you're going to need essentially probably a premium plan. And that 2-minute interval is kind of nice because it also lets you have relatively real-time data. Most folks, if they have to wait 15, 20 minutes, you know, they get kind of frustrated and they'll go do it themselves, which then will introduce other issues here. Okay. So additionally, with the paid plans, they give you the ability to use their premium apps. Premium apps are going to be things like Salesforce, QuickBooks Online. Again, your more business-oriented tools. Lots of different solutions are supported here, but you know, to be honest, they kind of get you for any of the mainstream business applications. Now, what could you use Zapier for? So let me kind of show you how you might choose to set this up. And so for our solutions, we're going to be using for our accounting system, Intuit's QuickBooks Online, specifically QuickBooks Online. Zapier is our interface. And then we're going to use HubSpot as our sales tool or our CRM, our customer relationship management. Now, a zap would be a one-time use, one-directional workflow inside of a business, okay? It will have a trigger, and it will have sometimes a series of actions that go along with it. It could be a one-to-one. You could have one trigger to one action, but really where Zapier shines is the fact that you can have multiple actions inside of a single workflow. Okay, so a trigger might be that a customer gets created in QuickBooks Online, okay? Well, Zapier is going to see that that customer has been created in QuickBooks, and it might, for example, go copy that customer record to HubSpot, creating that customer record directly inside of HubSpot. Okay, another zap would be, for example, what happens if that customer gets updated? Well, we can create a bi-directional integration where QuickBooks through Zapier is also maybe monitoring HubSpot. So let's say, for example, a salesperson updates the address inside of HubSpot, and we want to, as the accounting team, ensure that we send the invoice to the correct person. Okay, well, Zapier sees that that address has been updated in HubSpot and in turn goes and updates that address inside of QuickBooks Online, avoiding the issue of having to update that address in another system. It's created in one place and then pushed over wherever it is required. Another example, an invoice is created in QuickBooks Online. Well, the action, Zapier sees that that customer record in HubSpot goes and updates that customer record to show that that invoice has been issued, as well as the details related to that invoice on that customer record. The beautiful thing about this is that the sales team doesn't have to go and ask the accounting team if a client has been invoiced, but rather they can go to the system they use every day that is familiar with them and check to see that invoice is there themselves. And it also keeps them out of the accounting system, thereby improving productivity as well as improving security. Okay. Another example, an invoice is paid in QuickBooks. Well, Zapier updates that customer record showing that the invoice has been paid. And when the sales team logs into HubSpot, they will see the current balance being zero or whatever the appropriate balance is based off of the payment of the customer. And again, they don't have to go back to that accounting team to be able to ask that question. All righty. Okay, let's go ahead and switch over here and let's take a look at Zapier. Okay, so Zapier is zapier.com, Zapier.com. Okay. And if we scroll down here, for example, we could see some information about this course. And again, here's kind of a simple workflow that they use. Okay. I get an email inside of Gmail. Okay. So that email is being received. Okay. The action would be that I copy the attachment in that Gmail email and I copy it over to Dropbox or OneDrive or any of the other solutions that are there. Now, additionally, what separates Zapier from Ifit is the fact that we can have multi-step actions. So, for example, a second action might be to send that notification and a copy that attachment to Slack to notify my team that that email has been received. Okay. So let's go ahead and log in. And this is what the login with respect to Zapier looks like and what we can essentially do with this particular tool. Okay, now to get started with this, what we would want to choose over here is make a Zap. Okay. Now from here, we're going to want to choose a trigger and a action. Okay. So the first thing we got to think about is the direction of where our trigger is and what system that we want to essentially initiate this trigger from. So we can look at all the different services that Zapier operates. So we can, for example, see over here some of the more common web services that are supported. Let's go ahead and switch over here. Sorry, I forgot to change my screen share. And what we are is we're in the essential user account of our Zapier service. And to get started here, what we're going to go ahead and choose is click Make a Zap. And from here, this is where we're going to determine what our trigger should be. Now, if we look, we will see that there are very common solutions listed first. Okay, we can see a lot of the Google products, for example. We can even see things that are more premium, for example, our Facebook, as well as if we start to search, we could see a lot more of the solutions that are out there. So if we search, for example, for Salesforce, we'll see Salesforce listed. Okay, if we, for example, search for QuickBooks, we'll see QuickBooks listed in here as well. And there's lots of different services that are supported. Let's go ahead and visualize an example here of using that QuickBooks Online and using HubSpot as an example of a workflow that we might choose to use. And let's go ahead and use the example of issuing of a invoice inside of QuickBooks and pushing that information to the different systems that that might need to be represented in. Okay. So as an example here, let's go ahead and say our initiation point is going to be QuickBooks. So we're going to go ahead and choose QuickBooks as our initial app and our trigger. Now, lots of different opportunities for different triggers listed. So for example, we can say when a new account is created, a new customer, an estimate, an invoice. And you'll notice we actually have two different types of invoices. We have invoice where it's just the number and the macro information about the invoice. So for example, the customer and the date. And then we also could push over line items too. So if we're looking to, for example, push the different line items, you know, that are on this, we can actually get to that level of detail. And you could scroll down here and you can see there's other ones, bills, expenses, purchase orders as well. Okay, so let's go ahead and choose just our invoice here as our example. And we're going to go ahead and click continue. Now, just like with Ifit, our next step is, for example, to initiate QuickBooks Online. And so what we're going to go ahead and do is click this sign into QuickBooks Online and Zapier is going to open up a window. Okay. First thing first, it's going to say, hey, do you want to allow QuickBooks to allow Zapier to access QuickBooks Online? We're going to go ahead and say yes, continue. It's going to then take us over to our Intuit account where we would then provide our username and password to that QuickBooks Online service. Now, to the extent of the integration, that's it. That's all we have to do. So if we can log in using our account, we're good to go. Essentially, if you can log in, you can use Zapier. Now, it's important to note that Zapier runs with the same permissions as the user. So if you're not an administrator, you're only going to be limited to what you normally can see. You know, if it is something simple, like maybe you just have access to accounts payable, well, your integration is going to be limited just to that accounts payable. Okay. Now over here, this is where we can go ahead and we can set up our next steps, which would be our actions. So maybe our invoice gets created in QuickBooks Online and we want to push that over to HubSpot for our CRM. So we'll go ahead and select HubSpot over here. Okay, and so from here, what we would then choose would be what type of action do we want to create? Do we want to create a deal? Do we want to create a company? Do we want to create a ticket? Do we want to create a record, a note? Lots of different options with respect to this in terms of what we might choose to use. Now, truthfully, as you're starting to work through this, there might be some different options with respect to different solutions you might need to choose and different steps that might need to be there. You might, for example, evaluate, well, maybe I do want to set it up as a deal. Maybe I do want to set it up as a ticket. It's really kind of up to you to search to see what you might need to do and kind of figure this out. You might, for example, want to, from that invoice, first to see if there is a company, for example. You know, and if there is a company, great, update that record. And if not, for example, create one. So we can use this step here, which would go and search for the company that that invoice is tied to. And if they are, great, update that company record. And if not, optionally create the company from the data provided from QuickBooks. And just like with QuickBooks, same particular step. We go ahead and click this sign in, pops up to Zapier. Okay. Give it a couple seconds here, and it's going to then ask us for our HubSpot username and password. And as long as we have access to that, it will let us in. Okay. Now we could add another Zapier step in here as well. So maybe, for example, with HubSpot, after we want to go and look to see if the company record is there or create the record, maybe we want to, for example, in this particular instance, maybe we want to create, let's see what would be a good option. Let's see, maybe we want to create, let's just say it is a line item. Okay. And so maybe we put a line item representing that particular invoice. Now, we're not limited to just between two services. So we've gone from QuickBooks to HubSpot. Maybe, for example, we want to then use Microsoft Teams. Okay. And maybe from there, we want to, for example, send a channel message to our sales team, letting them know that that invoice has been created. Okay. So again, just like with HubSpot and with QuickBooks, we log in with our Microsoft credentials, and as long as we have access, it will let us just in. Okay. Maybe from Teams, maybe we want to log this information on a Google Sheet so that we have a nice sequential list of all invoices that have been issued by the company so that maybe we don't have to go into the accounting system just to find some level of detail. So we could go ahead and push it directly to Google Sheets as well. Okay. Maybe as a last option, maybe we want to send an email and we want to tell, for example, our sales team that that invoice had been sent out. Now, what we've done here is essentially done a lot of automation. Okay. Invoice gets created in QuickBooks Online, goes and finds the company record in HubSpot, creates a record inside of that company, or either updates an existing company inside of HubSpot. Then it goes and creates a line item in that HubSpot company, letting them know that that invoice had been issued, sends a notification to our team inside of Microsoft Teams to a specific channel, creates a record in a Google Sheet for that particular invoice, and then sends an email to our sales team to let them know that that particular invoice had been sent. But instead of having to do all six actions manually, we do a single action, and that one single action, that one single trigger initiates five additional actions that go along with it, avoiding the manual work that we would normally have to do. Okay, perfect. So that's a little bit about Zapier. Let's go ahead and have another polling question. And for our polling question here, I actually want to refer back to our pricing structure with Zapier. Okay, and so here is our second polling question. Which of the following metrics are part of Zapier's pricing plans? Is it the number of integrations or zaps that you have? Is it the number of times they run per month or tasks per month? Or is it the update interval or D, all of the above? And the correct answer is all of the above. Okay, so Zapier, in order for this to work, you need to figure out how many integrations you need, how many times you think that they're going to execute per month, and then how often you would like them to run. Alrighty. So our third solution that we're going to take a look at today is going to be Microsoft's Power Automate, previously referred to as Flow. Okay, so Flow, very similar to Zapier, it's more of a business grade tool. It's a workflow solution that supports triggers and actions and multi-step execution plans. So you can have a single trigger that executes multiple actions along with it. Now, Power Automate is a great tool for people that are utilizing a lot of the existing Microsoft services. And Microsoft has a tremendous amount of cloud services now, from their Azure platform to the 365 platform to Dynamics. They have a ton of different cloud applications. And Flow is a great way to be able to tie all these different solutions together. Now, it also does support things outside of the Microsoft ecosystem. So if you're using MailChimp or, you know, some of the other really commonly used tools, it does support. But really, I think where they shine the most is between the existing Microsoft services. Now, the other area where Power Automate really shines is the fact that it really does a great job between on-premise and cloud-based tech. They have a data gateway, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. And that data gateway is a way that we can be able to pull data from our local office or our data center or on-prem location, be able to pull that information to Flow and have it do stuff for us on our behalf. Now, they call their different services they use connectors, and they got a ton of them. And again, a lot of these are going to be Microsoft based, but you will see a lot of other commonly used tools out there as well. So I can see Twitter, for example. I can see general notifications. I can see Asana. I can see Basecamp. Lots of really popular web tools are going to be supported here. And so just like with Ifit, just like with Zapier, you click on the different tools that you would like to use. You provide your credentials to those particular tools, and then they have access to your account. And remember, they have access at the same privilege that you have. So if you're an administrator, Power Automate's an administrator. If you're a user and you only have access to certain data, well, guess what? Power Automate only has access to that certain data as well. Now, Power Automate also comes with a lot of different templates. These templates, very similar to Ifit, already do the heavy lifting and integrate the different services together. You know, they kind of do all the logic work for you, and you pick the template you want, you select the steps that you'd like to use, authenticate to the different services that you're utilizing. And that's it. The templates will essentially run and they will do everything for you. So they can kind of save a lot of the steps and a lot of heavy lifting of trying to figure stuff out for what you're trying to use. And if you'd like to create something more custom, by all means, you certainly can. You can create your own templates very easily utilizing this service. So here's some examples of some templates that they already have. For example, we can post weather updates to Yammer. We could save email attachments from Outlook to Dropbox. We can get daily reminders from Outlook directly to our email. We can get copies of tweets based off a certain word delivered by email. We can do more complicated stuff. For example, start an approval process and send emails from Microsoft Forms to people inside of our organization for approval. So lots of different options that are supported here. Now, the pricing for Power Automate is pretty simple. Okay, there is a trial period, but there is no free version of this solution. The standard fee would be $15. Okay, so for that $15, that user can create unlimited flows that'll run as needed, as often as needed. So what's kind of cool about this, where with Zapier, the pricing can get pretty complex. You could also have a lot of drivers where there's maybe not a lot of complexity, but they execute a lot per month. Well, the price would be very high. With Power Automate, a straight $15 will let you write as many integrations as you would like and share between as many applications as you'd like. Now, that is a really good solution if you have a lot of stuff going on. And if you could do everything inside of Power Automate or inside of Zapier, I think Power Automate would ultimately be the better priced tool, just because you're going to get a flat rate versus with Zapier, where it could be very expensive if those tasks tend to operate a lot. Now, they do have some additional options here. They have what they call robotic process automation. I'll talk about that here in a moment, and which are essentially AI tools. And then they also have the ability where a company can just pay a flat rate of $500 for unlimited users and up to 5 flows per month. And so that might make sense just depending on where your organization's at and what flows are needed. Now, one of the things that differentiates Zapier, that differentiates Power Automate from Zapier, is they also have two additional really kind of cool really cool tools. Try saying that 5 times fast. They have the AI Builder, okay, or sometimes referred to as robotic process automation, and then they also have their data gateway. Now, the AI Builder is a turnkey solution that brings a lot of the really heavy lifting of Microsoft AI technology to a really simple point-and-click experience and allows you to kind of really do some really interesting stuff with machine learning that would otherwise be out of reach of most users. And you can use this to do a number of different things. You can do prediction modeling if something will happen or not happen. You can use it for extraction of data from standard documents, for example, pulling an invoice number off of an invoice or a total amount of an invoice or line items even, recognizing and counting things in images, even recognizing and categorizing text for further analysis. And so it's a pretty cool tool. You know, over here as an example, we have an example of an invoice, and maybe as part of our solution, we want to extract the invoice number, the date, the bill to, and that kind of stuff, and automatically put that into our accounting system. With Power Automate, we can do that. With other tools like Zapier, we might be able to do it, but it would certainly be much more difficult. Now, they also have another tool called Data Gateways. Okay. Data gateways acts as a bridge between the local environment, the on-premise environment, and the cloud-based environment of Microsoft Azure and Flow. And so what's awesome about this is that your organization is going to have data locally. It's going to have stuff in databases, Excel files, other things on your local computers. Well, this data gateway allows you to be able to connect to that on-premise data and still bridge it in to allow you to be able to use that Flow service. And so it's a great solution for organizations that essentially are looking to leverage cloud-based resources, but still, no matter what that they do, will still have some measure of data on-premise. And this is a unique feature. Other services like Zapier, for example, in order to be able to access on-premise databases, as an example, they require you to punch a hole in the firewall to be able to access it. This is a much more secured way and very low-risk, low-impact method of connectivity. So pretty cool. Now, we're not going to take a look at Power Automate. I'm going to save that for our one-on-one presentation with Power Automate in the future. So if you're interested in this, check out flow.microsoft.com or come back here in a couple of weeks when we start going hands-on with each of these solutions, and I'll give you a really in-depth tour of what it looks like. However, we are at the end of our presentation, so it's time for our third polling question. What function does a data gateway serve in a Power Automate deployment? It allows you to utilize the AI Builder capabilities. It connects local or on-premise data to the Power Automate infrastructure. It helps to improve security of workflows. It is required and necessary in order to be able to use the Power Automate service. Well, the correct answer is it connects your local or on-premise data to the Power Automate structure. If 100% of your data is in the cloud, there's no need to use the data gateway. However, if you're trying to interact and utilize services that are based in your local environment, well, you're going to need that data gateway in order to be able to connect. All right, that does bring us to the end of our presentation. Let's quickly summarize what we learned today and also get your appetite wet for the next edition of this class. Well, today we looked at trigger and action integration tools. Specifically, we looked at Ifit, Zapier, and Power Automate. These are all web-based, fast, affordable, highly customizable tools that allow you to share data between different action, between different solutions. They have a trigger, which starts a workflow, and actions, which are steps as part of that workflow. It's great if you're getting started with integration, great if you want to avoid programming, great if you just want to go ahead and test the waters and see what's out there. The next times, you know, we've got multiple editions of this course coming, we're going to go ahead and explore data share capabilities of tools you probably already have. We're going to take a look at, for example, Excel and Power BI and some of the reporting side of data sharing and integration, which can be very helpful for getting information into the hands of decision makers. We'll also talk a little bit about custom programming, some different solutions. If, for example, Zapier and Power Automate and Ifit are not enough, so where do you go beyond that? I'm also going to give you a listing of my favorite go-to tools, platforms, and solutions. The stuff that I know works really, really well for integration projects that I think you should take a look at as well. Beyond that, we're going to take detailed looks at Zapier, Ifit, Power Automate, and other tools as well, like Nodemation and others, as a component of this course. So stay tuned. We've got lots more great information around data sharing and integration. If you like today's course, please consider connecting with us on social media. On most social media channels, we can be found at CPEtoday or at CPEtoday.com. If you're looking for us, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Facebook, and others. You're welcome to send us an email with any comments or feedback, questions at CPEtoday.com. And we might use your ideas and submissions for future classes. So let us know what you're thinking. I do want to remind you that you can earn credit for today's class. If you are a financial professional, you can earn a credit for listening to a podcast. How cool is that? Go to cpetoday.com, use course code IDS3. Again, cpetoday.com, use course code IDS3. Take a short 5-question quiz, earn a certificate, print that certificate, and you've got another credit to maintain your professional licensing. In addition, for purchasing the course, you'll get a DRM-free copy of the learning materials. You can ask questions. You can engage with other learning resources that we have available to you. So again, check out the course online at cpetoday.com. Use course code IDS3. Coming up, we've got lots of other great webinars coming and podcasts coming to you. We're going to go ahead and explore our disaster recovery and business continuity for financial firms and other professional organizations. We're going to do a cloud suite showdown between Google, Workspace, Office 365, Microsoft 365, and Zoho. We're going to talk and continue our exploration of QuickBooks Online and other small business accounting tools, taking detailed looks at every aspect of those solutions and how they operate. And if you've never used them before, by the end of our series, you'll know everything that a CPA knows how to use with those solutions. You'll know for yourself. And we're also going to start some more advanced topics as well, looking at macros, Visual Basic, and user-defined functions inside of Excel. Our first one, user-defined functions, will be coming up here in the next couple of weeks, learning how to create our own functions inside of Excel. So lots more great stuff to come. I thank you so much for your time and attention. Thank you for being here. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to leave us a comment or review wherever you happen to be watching this solution, and consider liking and subscribing our channels. Any and all feedback is welcomed and appreciated. And so we very much thank you for your engagement with us. And stay tuned. Lots more great stuff to come. Thank you so much, folks. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Best wishes. Good luck. Hope to see you on the podcast again very soon.